We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast is presented by Segra. Segra. Powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And hello again, Mountaineer Nation. We welcome you inside of our makeshift COVID-19 MSN studios, hunkered down for yet another week, and we appreciate you spending time with us here on the pod. I am Dan Zangrilli, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you, well, over however long we're going to be together. I'd like to think that we have a pretty good podcast today lined up. We're certainly not short on news, good news, I think, and we're all looking for some form or fashion of good news. As we always have to remind you first, our thanks to Segra. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, we are at WVUMSN, and if you've subscribed to the podcast, we appreciate that. If you don't mind, rate it, like it, give us 5 stars if you think that we are deserving. That'll help us climb the ladder here as we look to become more mainstream here on the Mountaineer Sports Network. So, where do we begin? Well, first, I'll tell you what we have coming up on the pod. One thing that's really fascinated me, and I think everybody's done a really, really good job since this pandemic hit, of keeping Mountaineer fans engaged, particularly on the WVU Athletics platforms. Whether you follow us at WVU Sports, whether it's on the football handle at WVU Football, whether it's the basketball handle, WVU Hoops, or just if you're going to the website on your phone, WVUSports.com, or on your desktop computer, you have not had a shortage of great content to keep you occupied, keep you entertained, and maybe keep you enlightened, and perhaps we've taught you something here over the last 6 weeks. And how is all of that made? I don't want this to be a complete Mr. Rogers segment, but I also do want to shine a light, peel back the curtain, and discuss how all of this was so quickly formed. And it really does take a team effort. And the guy that's sort of heading all of that up, there are a number of folks, and I don't mean to single out one in particular because so many have worked so hard, but Grant Dovey is the director of digital media at the university. It's essentially a wing on the second floor of the WVU Coliseum there, and a lot of folks are pulling on the same rope to keep Mountaineer fans engaged. And it's really been well received. One of the great brands in college athletics continues to grow, continues to build. So what goes behind it? How did everybody mobilize? Because you've seen some great initiatives, from a virtual spring game to the re-airing of classic broadcasts, something that we've done here and at Learfield IMG College, which is obviously a great partner of the universities. We have worked in tandem with Mountaineer Athletics as well, but so too has the athletic department on their own. And I want to tell that story because I think it's a unique story. It's an important story that needs to be told. And, hey, what else is coming down the pike? Because you have to marry the fan engagement, but also all of this really is, at the end of the day, a recruiting platform for student athletes. So Grant is terrific at what he does. The entire team, terrific at what they do. And I'm going to talk to Grant coming up a little bit later on. But first, before we move forward, let's get some good news out of the way. And I don't mean to get it out of the way, because it's great news, quite frankly, and it's news from earlier in the week that Oscar Tshiebwe is going to return for his sophomore season. He dipped his toe in the NBA waters. He did what he was entitled to do, his right, and that's to get that evaluation, to see where he stands. And perhaps maybe to his surprise and others, that evaluation maybe lasted a little longer than we originally anticipated. And as a result, there was probably a little trepidation around some of the fan base, thinking like, okay, this process is going to take X amount of time. Oscar's going to be back. We felt pretty confident going into this process that, okay, sophomore season for Oscar, that's a sure thing. Well, as the process went on, maybe the confidence eroded a little bit. And again, you were sweating it out as a Mountaineer fan. Quite frankly, I was, because I'm thinking, all right, what's taking so long? He did get, as he mentioned in his social media post, a better than expected evaluation, and the feedback was all very positive, which, hey, look, you want it to be. And God bless the kid for being as blessed as he is. So I think it's a cool thing that Oscar was able to get that great feedback. But at day's end, selfishly thinking from a Mountaineer fan's perspective, that he's coming back. And I think he made the right decision. Everybody thinks that he made the right decision. Everybody will probably agree, Oscar included, that there's more to his game that he needs to refine to be the complete NBA player that the league at this time in its history requires. And Oscar's eventually going to be that guy. And another year under Hug's program is certainly going to benefit him. So how does he become that a complete player? What does he need to work on? The boxes that he needs to check? Tony Caridi sat down with Hugs on a United Bank playbook. Here's an excerpt from that. If you want to hear the whole thing in complete context, you can just, again, go to WVU Hoops on Twitter, and that video is right there. But here's what he had to say, Hugs, that is, about getting Oscar to the next level, some of the boxes he still needs to check.
I want him to be able to pass it better. I want him to be able to shoot it from the perimeter better. Want him to be able to switch and guard smaller guys a little bit better. Obviously, he can rebound it. He runs like crazy. He's gotten pretty good at scoring it with his back to the basket. I think he's got to work at scoring it a little bit better over size. But, I mean, he's going to work, Tony. That's the great thing about Oscar is he's going to work. He's going to put time in. He wants to be good. He wants to be good. But that can be said for the majority of our guys.
All right, so that is Hugs on Oscar and how he's going to enhance his game with a second year of seasoning here at West Virginia. And oh, by the way, just look at the roster. Look at the prospect of 2021. I mean, if there's nothing else that's sustaining you from a Mountaineer fan's perspective right now through this pandemic, it has to be the hope of what's going to be happening on the hardwood and what the Coliseum is going to look like. And on paper, what this squad should be able to do. A lot of excitement, rightfully so, around Mountaineer basketball. Also, around football, I think that there's a lot of optimism. And head coach Neil Brown meeting with reporters earlier this week, doing his third virtual press conference, Great to hear him, great to see him, and great to be talking football in some way, shape, or form. He is, as he mentioned to reporters, a cautiously optimistic that we're going to be playing. What that looks like, what the normal will actually be, obviously TBD. One thing that he was asked about quite a bit, and I do want to spend some time here on the podcast discussing, is the name, image, and likeness reform that we are going to see now. There has been anticipation of this, but it took another step forward. After things kind of got together in October, we are now, I think, full steam ahead in the NCAA. And as college athletics fans, we are going to be experiencing some big-time changes. So as far as Neil is concerned, he was asked to give his 50,000-foot view opinion on all of it. And much like many of us, there are still a lot of unknowns. That's no exception to the head coach.
Still learning. I felt like you kind of feel momentum growing, and I could feel the momentum growing, and just conversations with Shane and just people in the profession. So you could feel the momentum growing. So what we did is we tried to get in front of that, and we've partnered with an individual that we'll announce here pretty soon, and it's about education. And kind of educating our players how to take advantage of that, how to create a brand, what's a brand look like, those type of things. So that's something that we got ahead of, and we feel really good about our plan about doing that. But as far as how to take advantage of recruiting and all that stuff, I don't really know. I'm not as educated as I need to be right now. I was kind of waiting for these recommendations to come down. And I think it's important to know these recommendations haven't passed yet. But I read through them last night, read through them again this morning, and we'll continue to do that. I do think there's some potential benefits here in West Virginia just because we don't have any professional sport competition and we're the only Power 5 team. So I do think there's some things that we can use. I do think there's some things that are marketable, that our players are marketable. Our brand is strong. I did notice that the branding of your school is going to be not allowed in that, which I do understand. I don't think it's going to be a windfall for everybody on our roster or everybody on the basketball team. I don't see that happening. But I'm just kind of learning as we go on it.
And as we read up and brush up on the name, image, and likeness reform and the modernization of the NCAA bylaws, there are obviously tons of concerns, tons of questions, probably more of those than there are answers at this point. And again, the head coach is in the same boat as many of us, and this is the leader of a Power 5 football program, so he's got to figure out a way for his program to navigate a lot of uncertainty surrounding something new, something drastically new. So what are his big concerns? Maybe what keeps him up at night?
You don't know what the parameters are, and then when you get the parameters, how do you monitor that? You know what I mean? Like, who's in charge of monitoring? Is that going to be part of the head coach responsibility? Because how am I going to monitor if they have an agent? You know, there's a bunch of different there's a lot more. I have a lot more questions on it than answers. I understand why we went down this path. I do get it. Again, I think it can be beneficial to some extent. I just don't know how you manage it. And again, I'm just not educated enough on it. We will, and we'll figure it out. But right now, I'm just not probably educated enough on it to know how it's going to be regulated, how it's going to be monitored, all those type of things.
So now that we've kind of raised the questions, let's try to get you what we do know. And some of you may have read, and I apologize if this is old news, but a lot of folks have an idea of what this is or a general gist. And I'll throw out a disclaimer that I'm probably in that camp, but what I have done is I've done some reading. And what I'll try to do here is kind of consolidate for you in a fairly easy-to-listen pod. I hope I'm doing that. But just to give you maybe a little more than you're going to read or hear in a two-minute clip on television or radio, maybe we could dive a little bit deeper here, somewhere in between a long-form article and again, just a 90-second newscast or something along those lines. So, background, quickly. Let's go to October. NCAA Board of Governors, they convene. What they do is they start directing a panel to figure out how to modernize the bylaws and policies. And this is primarily motivated, let's not try to cover this up, by state legislation that was passed in a couple of states that is going to essentially make it law that college athletes can be treated the same way from a money-earning perspective with their name, image, and likeness as any of their student peers that are non-athletes. So that was probably, let's say what it is, the impetus behind all of this convening in October. So they put together the panel, figure out some recommendations to update the bylaws and the policies. Also in October, the board provided some guidelines and principles in which they believe that they need to adhere to. So largely in part, this is to protect the sanctity of amateur athletics and keep nefarious influences or entities out of the equation, because that is obviously primary concern here. So those were, I guess, to give you five quick bullet points here, primarily to treat the student athletes like their peers, number one, to be make clear that collegiate and professional opportunities are indeed completely separate, to C, make clear that the compensation that an athlete may be able to receive is solely from name, image, and likeness ventures and not for athletic performance or participation. There needs to be a hard, definitive, bold line in the sand between what they're doing on their personal time with their name, image, and likeness, and of course what they do as a student athlete at the university. And also make clear that the athletes are not working on behalf of the university. There's no pay for play here in any way, shape, or form, in other words. And again, and most importantly, is to keep this out of the recruiting environment. Now, obviously, how you do all of that, those are the $60,000 questions here, and those are the concerns that arise out of all of this. Easier said than done, right? So the panel assembled to figure all of this out, and let's get these recommendations. Let's set a deadline. April was the deadline. Well, April comes and goes. Here we are this week. Today was the deadline week. And oh, by the way, I should mention as an aside, there were and are some Big 12 influences on this panel, including the commissioner of the league, Bob Bowlsby, and also one of the better players in Big 12 women's basketball history, probably. That's Lauren Cox, NCAA champion. Turns out she's a first-round draft pick in the WNBA just a few weeks ago. She was on the panel as well. But largely the panel, it's a diverse one with a variety of folks at a variety of levels, Division 1, 2, and 3. So hopefully we have kind of set the scene there for you and given you the overall gist of what went on in October and essentially where things are at here for this April report, which just came out, the recommendations, if you will, which was 31 pages long. So here are some of those recommendations. Essentially, more of what you cannot do as opposed to what you can do. And I'll try to break this down in layman's terms and maybe give you an example or two, or maybe raise a hypothetical that kind of goes in line. So here's, again, what you cannot do as opposed to what you can do. So number one, the NCAA wants to put what Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, is calling guardrails in place. And he wants to ensure that the money made by student athletes cannot be in any way clouded as pay for participation in sport. That goes back to October. Secondly, the schools and the conferences can't in any way get involved in kids monetizing their name, image, and likeness. You're not getting paid for things that you have no legal right to be paid for, which that can be a little bit of a gray area as well, you would think. And any third-party roles have to be regulated, third parties essentially being agents. So what schools cannot do, again, they cannot make endorsements, payments themselves. They can not play any role in locating or arranging or facilitating endorsements for the student athlete. And the biggest one of all, right, the allowing of boosters to come in and use NIL money as a recruiting inducement. Boosters, could they make payments that were only nominally for legitimate use of student-athlete name, image, and likeness and were primarily motivated by a desire to pay student-athletes for their athletics participation or performance? That's directly brought up here as a big concern over Boosters. Also, another concern that comes up, a concern over the recruiting process. Here's verbatim what this recommendation report says. Several respondents expressed concern that modernized rules related to name, image, and likeness could cause changes to the recruiting process that would harm both schools by, of course, exacerbating advantages already held by some schools and student athletes themselves by causing the athletes to place too much emphasis on potential name, image, and likeness opportunities rather than what college athletics should be, and that is the academic or athletic opportunities presented when choosing their schools. The respondents here in this working group that came together over the last 6 months. Respondents noted, however, that similar dynamics are already present in the recruiting process, and while concern over their exacerbation would justify increased regulation, it should not preclude otherwise beneficial modernization of the name, image, and likeness rules. Well, what does that all mean? We have to figure out further more rules and more guidelines to make this work, right? Otherwise, you just have the wild, wild west, and that's obviously giving a lot of folks concern. That's obviously giving folks a lot of pause. As you heard Neil essentially mention at the top of this podcast, what those are, and I don't think that we even know entirely what those are. So essentially, what the broad plan is, it's to allow student-athletes to strike deals with these third parties, but require them to disclose these agreements to the schools. In other words, NCAA and the schools, they want to regulate for improprieties so payments aren't actually recruiting inducements or pay-for-play schemes, which I think is reasonable. All these guardrails, again, that's the word that's used by the sports leaders to describe these regulations. The next phase now is going to be building them out. And I think it's important to note a couple of things here. In addition to everything that I've laid out, there is no cap on what athletes can earn. Also, going back to the booster thing, boosters who support the schools with donations likely will not be immediately disqualified from working with these athletes. But the NCAA, they fear that individuals and also companies, heck, there's going to be complete infrastructures constructed here to use business relationships, foster and build these business relationships with athletes as a cover for essentially paying prospects to attend a particular school. And that's going to get dicey here. And there has to be, I think, clear guidelines, though people want a complete free and open market. One other item I think that is important, athletes not going to be allowed to use school logos or brands in personal deals. In a lot of the reading that I found, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, right, give an example there. If he's in a television ad, he won't be allowed to wear the school's familiar orange tiger paw. So if Will Greer wanted to do a Head and Shoulders commercial when he was here at West Virginia with the long flowing locks, he would not be able to wear the flying WV. If Oscar wants to go ahead and do an endorsement for a dental office with his $1 million smile, he's not going to be wearing the flying WV. So that is an important distinction here as well. So again, the broad plan is to allow athletes to strike a deal with a third party, but require them to disclose those agreements with the school. The school, they want to figure out a way to have the athlete's best interest at heart and essentially make sure that they're not getting taken advantage of. Whether that is agreed to or not, we'll see. Whether that is put in place, we will see. So a lot to be ironed out between now and then, which when is now and then. We'll kind of give you a timeline here up to date. So this April 30th deadline that the panel was able to put together was the recommendations phase. By August 30th, the proposal draft phase, and then by Halloween, they look to take it one step further. And by the end of January in 2021, divisions 1, 2, and 3 should have enacted all name, image, and likeness proposals for their appropriate divisions. And so there it is. We're looking at essentially less than a year of all of this being full go. So a lot of questions, very few answers. How it's going to impact a place like West Virginia, you heard Neil say that there could be particular advantages because we are essentially the only show in the state. So what will it do? How will it benefit in particular us here at WVU? Those questions still have to be answered, and we'll try to stay on top of it as best we possibly can for you. We'll try to get some experts here on the pod to discuss this at a much higher level than I'm able to give you, because let's be honest, I'm just a simple broadcasting shepherd here trying to provide a podcast and corral all of the details and information and consolidate them for you. By no way, shape, or form and I am I an expert, and I certainly hope I didn't misspeak or misrepresent any of the facts. But we do know that things are going to be a little bit different here before it's all said and done. A lot of bit different, I guess. So what has been different is, well, the last 6 weeks, certainly, and what we had to do at WVUSports.com, a cast of thousands had to create some different content for all of you because, obviously, the game's stopping. And the man behind all of that with a lot of support, Grant Dovey. And we'll discuss with him how he was able to quickly mobilize and shift to, the new norm. But it's been, I think, a good normal in many respects, as we've been able to see some content that we otherwise never would have. So the creativity juices have been flowing inside the WVU Athletic Department from the Creative Services team. So we'll discuss how all of that works when we return after this word from our friends at Segra.
Lumos Networks is now Segra. Segra is proud to support the West Virginia Mountaineers, and we're proud to be investing in the future of Mountaineer Nation. Segra is one of the largest independent fiber bandwidth companies in the U.S. Our new dense fiber network provides the solutions, speed, diversity, scalability, and reliability West Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast have been asking and waiting for. All across our footprint, Segra is providing customers with local attention and the fastest, most reliable fiber network in the region. Call 833-GO-SEGRA or visit www.segra.com to learn more. We are Segra. Let's go, Mountaineers!
Welcome back to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. And without any further ado, a conversation with Grant Dovey, who has been heading up all of the creative strategies with a number of folks at WVUSports.com. All right, Grant, wanted to get you on the phone here, and thanks so much for taking some time and talking to us about everything that you've been involved in. And I want you to give us a little background and color on what everybody is seeing, essentially what is behind the curtain. So when any athletic department is faced with a pandemic, we now know they're going to likely turn to their digital arm, and that's the arm that you essentially oversee. So having said all of that, take us back to mid-March when everything shut down. What was going through your mind as the head of digital for WVU Athletics?
Basically, we had to pivot quickly. That's the one thing that we had to do. We had to figure out how we can continue to be successful and really just start driving fan engagement as well as creating unique content because the recruiting cycle is still going on. Obviously, there were sponsored elements, too, that we had to work in. So really, it was just a really quick pivot. And I think we really found out how well we work as a team during that week where we were discussing how much we had to do and kind of how we were going to accomplish that.
So take me through one of those meetings. How do they typically go? Who's involved? And what are the think tank sessions like?
Sure. So we have a number of different groups, actually. We have a football digital group. We have a men's basketball digital group. We work with the SIDs. Obviously, I work very close with Matt Wells and Nate Zinn and Noah Smith and Carly Slater and Brooke Foster in the marketing department. So it's really just a lot of different people in a lot of different factions, I'd say. So for example, our football digital group is myself, Nate, Mike Montoro, Austin Gaines, the director of creative video for football, and then Caleb Saunders, the director of graphic design, and obviously Coleman Barnes oversees them over football. And then the basketball digital group is myself, Nate, Brian Messerly, the SID, Kristen Coldsnow, the graphic designer, Sarah Ramont, their video creative video, and then Tyler Chang is actually very involved in that from the men's basketball staff. So two different groups, or a bunch of different groups, but we all kind of work together and try and get things done.
So how does that work? You mentioned a lot of names, a lot of folks that are involved, and to be able to mobilize and quickly turn something around. Talk to me about the hierarchy, the infrastructure, the processes, and the procedures that go into turning around what essentially somebody sees that turns out to be pretty cool on Twitter that they spend maybe 90 seconds with.
Yeah, so from a video perspective, basically football and basketball are kind of on their own, obviously, and we're part of that digital group like I just spoke about. So because they have people that are working for them, we don't necessarily have to, you know, go through a hierarchy. We obviously come up with ideas, and in your little think tank sessions that you were talking about, we have, you know, meetings once a week. We come up with ideas, and then we try to execute. As far as everything else we do, you know, Scott Bartlett and I, Scott Bartlett, our director of video production, Scott, we developed a basically form that everyone submits if they want something, and then it comes to the form gets emailed to Scott and I, and we kind of, you know, delegate from that point forward who is going to handle it, whether it's myself or my GA or one of my students, or whether it's Scott, Chris Austin, Sarah obviously double teams with some of that, or Sean Mariner. So, you know, we really have worked well together from a video side of things. And then there's always, you know, just projects that happen, right? Like this year, there's no student athlete graduation. There's no student athlete banquet. There's no Blue and Golden Globes event. So how do we pivot and come up with ideas to be unique and interactive and be able to interact with these 74 graduates who aren't going to be able to walk across the stage and they like they normally can?
Grant Dovey is with us, heads up the digital arm of the West Virginia Athletics Department. So, Grant, of all the ideas that have been thrown out and all of the plans that have been executed over the last 6 weeks or so, are you most proud of one in particular, or maybe what was a little more difficult to undertake than some of the other stuff?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is the spring game and the virtual spring game. And we always knew that history resonated with our fans, and we obviously have, you know, from a men's basketball and football perspective, two very good historical programs. And I think that's kind of unique at West Virginia. Most schools, you look at a Penn State, right? Football has always been king, and basketball's just never gotten there. And you kind of ask yourself why. And it seems like at most schools, there's either one or the other. And at West Virginia, we've been fortunate enough to have storied history in both. So it's really kind of opening up the vault and opening up the archives. And Scott, since he's been here with athletics, has done a great job of building out that archives. I mean, if you look at it, it's very impressive. You know, we have highlight films back to like 1955. And the quality is not always the greatest, but still, if we need to go back and find something, we can do that. And we were able to accomplish that with the virtual spring game. Obviously, Nate Zenn did a tremendous job scripting out that game. He obviously lives and dies by West Virginia football. And you know, he was raised a Mountaineer, and so he has a great historical knowledge of the program, as well as Sean Mariner. I'm from outside the state, and my knowledge has grown, obviously, from working here, but it starts in fall of 2007, which isn't a great memory for everybody. So, you know, working together with those two, we were really able to kind of develop a game plan and come up with a script, and then the key was also involving some of the newer players currently. So we ran some videos, some of the 2019 top moments, some of the game recaps. We ran a video that they show on Junior Day to kind of get people excited for what's to come. Obviously, didn't have the best, you know, win-loss record last year, but I think you just saw from a the program take a huge step forward, just in all aspects. And I think you see the fruits of the labor kind of happening in recruiting right now. And then from a basketball perspective, we reran that 2010 Final Four, and that was pretty much, we decided to do that right after everything got canceled. And I think, you know, you look at our numbers on Facebook and how many people we had tuned in live to that Kentucky replay, and I can't remember the total number off the top of my head, but it was just, we're sitting there going, holy smokes, you know, this is really resonating with people and making people interact and engage with this content.
Grant Dovey is with us. So what have you learned here about the value of digital and I guess where it's going? Because things over these last 6 weeks, Grant, they have they forever changed, haven't they? And all the birds are going to be singing a different song here moving forward.
Yeah. You know, coaches have been a lot more interested in what we do and how we do it. And I think that's because they can sit around now on Twitter. You know, instead of leave of practices and stuff like that, and they're looking at what other schools are doing and why they're doing it and how it's working for them. So, you know, it's got coaches thinking a lot more. And I think with the recent NIL developments, obviously we're a ways away on that. But everything kind of points to, you know, these kids potentially, you know, making money off of social media. So does that become something in a recruiting process where that's pushed, you know, that – you know, who knows? I think there's so many questions about that. But I think just the value is how do you make everything work? How do you get to your recruits? How do you get to your fans? How do you get to your older fans? How do you get to the people who are donating money? You know, now we have TikTok, right? I don't think you probably have a TikTok account yet. But TikTok is the next phenomenon. So how does that work? Is that a football thing? You know, what is it? So I think digital is ever changing and ever growing, and I think it's something that will continue to be that way, and I don't think it's something that anyone will ever have figured out, but I think we are constantly learning on a day-to-day basis.
And what is the biggest skill set or characteristic that you have to be working in an athletic department, especially in the digital wing, in 2020 and maybe 2025 for that matter?
I've always considered myself a utility player. obviously, being a baseball guy, you're pretty familiar with what that guy does. He comes off the bench, and he's willing to help out in any way possible and knows a little bit about everything and maybe isn't an expert at anything. And I think that's kind of, you know, I can dabble in video. I dabble in web design. I dabble in social media. I dabble in graphic design. But I dabble in motion design. But I'm certainly not an expert. Any of those areas, but you know, I've always kind of pride myself on being able to kind of communicate with people when we're working on a project and kind of helping lead a project to its destination. And I think, you know, we've working together, we have a great group at West Virginia, and just the ability to work together and communicate when needed are the two traits that, you know, I really think anyone can succeed with. It doesn't matter what skill set you have necessarily, as long as you can communicate and you work hard. You know, those are the two things that I think anyone can get by with.
All right, so since this is the Mountaineer Insider, Grant, as we wrap up with Grant Dovey, what is coming down the pike here? Nobody really knows when games are going to resume. Anybody that thinks that they have an idea, they're probably mistaken. So in the interim, the task is yours to come up and create engaging content, and I think fans are going to continue to be engaged. My question is exactly how and with what type of content?
Yeah, football, we're still going to try to work on some recruiting stuff and focus a lot on that. Obviously, you know, believe it or not, kids are committing during this period. It's kind of crazy, but they're committing, and we'll kind of see what happens. So we're going to continue to work on recruiting content and probably continue to hit some of the historical and family pieces. Obviously, we have things like Mother's Day coming up and Father's Day. So, you know, those are big things of Coach Brown's mindset, you know, being a well-rounded person. He's really into pumping some of that stuff. And then on the basketball side, we've never really opened the archives, and we started kind of digging around back there, and I think there's going to be some exciting things for people to see here in the next couple months of things that we have that nobody's ever seen before. We just haven't really gotten into the historical the historical side of basketball as much. We have it, but we just haven't gotten there. And then the NCAA came down with a ruling the other day, actually. It kind of affects a lot of our current student-athletes, so we're not able to like or retweet or promote any of the current student-athletes working out, participating in athletic abilities or athletic activities. So we've actually had to kind of pivot again. You know, we were doing Instagram takeovers before with athletes taking over Instagram and kind of going through their day. Well, you know, part of their day now is their at-home workout or practicing, you know, position techniques or whatever it may be. And we're unfortunately not allowed to do that anymore because this is considered volunteer hours. So, you know, we're always constantly pivoting, and I guarantee you we're going to have to continue to here in the next couple months.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, at least it's been fun from afar to watch everybody pivot. Easier for all of us viewers to say that than those actually doing all the heavy lifting, Grant, and appreciate your time and appreciate all the heavy lifting that you and the entire team is doing, because I think that's one thing, and you've mentioned it already, that has emerged from this is when you're all pulling on the same rope and pitching into the pile, it's amazing what people can do in the time in which they can do it.
Yeah, we've had some great people here. You know, I always say once you get to West Virginia, you know, people might be scared to come here, but once you get here, you kind of realize the family atmosphere, and it starts from the top with Shane and Kelly and Steve and all the way down. I think there's something to be said about the way the athletic department treats its people. And I'm not just sucking up here. I really think that's a true case study to be looked at by some other athletic departments.
Director of Sucking Up, Grant Dovey, with us on the podcast. Grant, thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
All right. Enjoyed spending time with Grant, and I do appreciate him for joining us here on this edition of the pod. Well, coming up next week, we'll try to continue to provide you updates as it pertains to NIL. I want to do that on a fairly regular basis. I don't want to beat you over the head with it because I think that can get old pretty quickly. Hopefully we will have some more news as it pertains to when and how we can resume any form or fashion of athletic related activity. But until then, we sit, we wait, we watch, rewatch, we enjoy, we listen, and we do what we all need to do as American citizens and as Mountaineers, and that is to continue to flatten this curve and slowly but surely creep our way back to life as we once know it. And until then, we ask you to stay safe, and as always, hail West Virginia. Let's go, Mountaineers. Thanks to our friends at Segra, Dan Zangrilli, on behalf of our entire cast and crew. On the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. The Mountaineer Insider has been presented exclusively by Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at wvusports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.